Hello there, and welcome to the Monday edition of Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Let's see, it's April the 12th. Boy, I can't believe it. April the 12th already. I'm excited to be here with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Boy, it's a dreary day here in southern New Jersey. I hope the sun is shining where you are. But anyway, look, we're here with each other. We're going to talk about the Lord. Going to take a look at some of the Mass readings from today. It's a very interesting message that came out of today's gospel. I think I want to share that with you today and talk about some other things as well. All in all, I'm glad you're here. You know the deal. I have a table here and there's a chair for you, open chair right here. So pull it up, sit down, relax. I've got my cup of ice cold water here. I hope you brought a snack or beverage with you. And I hope you're ready to hang out with me for the next 30 minutes. It's always great that we can do this. I just really enjoy this. You know, it's funny. I really can feel your presence when I do this program. And it's such a blessing when I'm having a sort of a down day. And I was kind of dragging a little bit today. I guess it's the weather. It might be some other things or that might be going on as well. It happens. You know, we all have days like that. But when I get to open up my Bible and start sharing God's word with you and we start conversing, it makes me feel so much better. So I consider this such a blessing to be able to do this show, and I thank you for listening. If you would do me a favor and let your friends know about this program, I would really appreciate it. I have one piece of news I'm going to share with you, but we'll wait till after the prayer. Let's turn to our Father in heaven right now. And let's recognize that he is present with us. The beautiful thing about our Father in heaven is that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. This is one of those things that you would categorize as mystery. You and me, we can't understand how that works. In the same way, he is outside of time and space. You know, he's outside of time. He can be everywhere at one time. He sees everything in the present. Well, that we don't get that because we are very much in time and space. He's outside of it. So we're never going to be able to figure out everything. But what I can tell you is this. Your Father in heaven hears your prayers. He is with you wherever you are. And he not only loves you, but he likes you too. And I think that's a huge thing to understand. He likes spending time with you. You know, there were people that you might love them, but you don't like them. We all have those people in our lives. But our Father not only loves us unconditionally, meaning that there's nothing we can do ever to make him love us any more or any less, but he also likes us. He enjoys when we spend time with him. He created us. He could have created us in any number of ways, but cell by cell, he put us together. And he knew what he was getting, so he likes spending time with us in addition to loving us unconditionally. So let's turn to him now in prayer, and I invite you to join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for always making time for us. Father, whenever we turn to you in prayer, we're confident that you are hearing us and that you are available. That's an amazing gift, that you're so accessible. Father, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for sustaining our lives. We thank you for giving us air to breathe. We thank you, Father, for giving us lungs to breathe the air that you give us. We thank you for giving us a heart which beats and moves the blood through our body to keep us alive. We thank you for the blood that's in our body that we need. We thank you for the brain that you have given us, so that we can consciously turn to you, to make that decision to turn to you in prayer and to worship you. And we do that now, Father. Father, we ask you to bless us and our family and our friends. We ask you to give us what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Grant us the grace to forgive those who have offended us. Grant us the grace to avoid sinning, turning away from you. Grant us an increased desire to do your will. And Father, we pray that you will pour out the Holy Spirit on us today. Give us an increased outpouring of the Spirit so that all of our minds and our hearts will be open to the message you have for us today on this program, and that we'll be willing to put it into practice. And finally, Father, I ask for the words. Give me the words that I need to proclaim on this show. This is about you. This is not about me. So I really desire to get out of your way and to let you speak through me. Please do that, Father. And we pray for these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. For more information about the work that I do, if you want to pick up a copy of my new book, Give Up Worry for Good, 8 Weeks to Hopeful Living and Lasting Peace, or if you want to bring me in to speak at your parish or your conference, or if you want to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, all you need to do is visit my website, followingthetruth.com. It's followingthetruth.com. I mentioned when I first came on before the prayer, there was a piece of news that I wanted to share with you, and I'll mention this throughout the week as well. But there is a live virtual conference this weekend, Listening for God, it's called. It's from April the 16th through the 18th. Teresa Tomeo is putting it on. And there are 50-plus Catholic speakers who are involved in this conference talking about a number of different variations of how to listen to God. I've been asked to be one of the speakers. I have recorded a talk and submitted it. If you, my talk's Give Up Worry for Good, and you know, the basis of Give Up Worry for Good and giving up worry in general is to let the Lord speak and to respond to what he says, to follow his commands, you know, let him speak to us. And Jesus had a lot to say about worry. And that's what I'm going to be talking about on my talk. But anyway, I'm one of the 50-plus Catholic speakers who are featured in this Listening for God virtual conference. It's totally free. Now, you're able to purchase an upgraded plan, which allows you to download the talks or view them for several months. I forget the exact details. But if you want to just participate in the conference and hear the talks, the way to do it, you have to pre-register. But again, it is free. The easiest way for you to do that is to go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and just scroll down. You'll see the ad for the conference. You click on that, and then that'll allow you to sign up for the conference. So that's April the 16th through the 18th, and I'm really looking forward to that. So if you want to hear my talk or hear these other talks, many of which are phenomenal talks from great speakers, just go to followingthetruth.com and you can sign up for that. And if you have any questions, shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, okay? All right, so let's talk about these readings today. They're interesting. So we are in the Easter season. The Easter season lasts for 50 days, beginning on Easter Sunday. It's not over in one day. It's because it's such a huge deal. Easter, the resurrection of the Lord, is such a big deal that the church wants us to be able to really let it sink in. And the church wants us to celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen, that he died and he rose from the dead to take away our sins and to give us the opportunity to be resurrected, not just at the in the next life, but to be resurrected in this life, to be resurrected from our discouragement and our anxiety and our sins. You know, for all of these things, Jesus gives us new opportunity. That's what the resurrection means. So let's look at this gospel. It's an interesting one, and it gives me a couple of points that I want to make, and I've told you before. And if you're a new listener, you might not know this, but for much of my life, I was very lukewarm when it comes to my Christianity. I was baptized into the Catholic Church when I was a baby. I went through 12 years of Catholic school. It didn't really apply myself when it came to religion, didn't really have a good personal relationship with Christ. And that's despite the fact that I never fell away from going to Mass. I did the right things. I checked the boxes. But the relationship wasn't there. The relationship with Christ wasn't there. So today we're going to talk about baptism. And one of the things about baptism is that I didn't appreciate it. For many years, I didn't understand how important it really was and what happened when I was baptized. So let's look at this gospel. This is from today's Mass, Monday of the second week of Easter. It's from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And it has to do with the encounter between the Pharisee Nicodemus and Jesus. So let's pick it up here. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night. And one of the things that has been said about Nicodemus, the fact that he came at night, sort of indicates that he might not have had the courage to approach Jesus during the day. Now, the Pharisees, they were the strict, observant Jews who really didn't like Jesus because he was getting in their way. They were known for a very strict following of the Mosaic law, the law laid down by Moses, and they didn't bend. And often they added regulations that made following their religion very burdensome for the people. They had no desire to reach out to people who did not do things exactly as they did. So the whole idea of the gospel being proclaimed to Gentiles was out of the question. They didn't believe that these people were worthy. So that's why Jesus just drove these Pharisees crazy. But Nicodemus is somewhat open-minded in the fact that he sees something in the teachings of Jesus that intrigues him. So he went to Jesus at night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now this confused Nicodemus. He didn't really get what Jesus was saying when he said, "unless one is born from above." And Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you." One of the things about John's gospel, when Jesus says, "Amen, amen," he's saying, "All right, listen up. What I'm about to say is important." So when we hear him say, "Amen, amen, I say to you," it's like, uh-oh, this is important. We better listen. "Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above." Now, when Jesus is referring to water and the spirit and being and a rebirth, if you will, it is pretty apparent, and the church looks at this in this particular verse in Scripture and acknowledges that Jesus is talking about baptism here, because in baptism, the element of water is used and the Holy Spirit is involved. When you are baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit, and that's a bit of confusion for some. That always that when I first found that out, I was kind of surprised, because we associate the Holy Spirit with confirmation with the Holy Spirit. Confirmation is sort of a continuation of baptism. It's a, if you want to call it, a booster shot. It's a strengthening of the grace received at baptism. It's a further outpouring of the Holy Spirit to allow you to really live your faith as an adult in a mature way. But we first receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. So you got water and the Holy Spirit and a rebirth. Because what happens at baptism is not only the remission of original sin. So we are born with original sin. We're cleansed of that through the sacrament of baptism, we are also given sanctifying grace, which allows us to share in the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. We become a member of the church, but we're kind of like, we become part of Jesus. Again, this is a hard concept to really wrap our brains around, but it's a powerful one. And we are at that point, if you want to, I'm just coming up with this terminology, but a reservation is made for us in heaven. So we have a room reserved for us in heaven at that point. So the place in heaven is there. Is it possible for us to mess up and not reach our final destination? Yes, it is. But all what we need to do is just cooperate with God's grace, have that desire to make it to heaven, and do the best we can with the help of the grace that the Lord gives us through the sacraments, through prayer. And then we will be able to reach our heavenly destination. You know, it's we don't want to make it sound like we don't want to make it sound like it's impossible. Because I've heard people that sound almost sad and somber, even though they're really trying and they really love the Lord, but they'll say, "Well, I hope I'm good enough to make it to heaven," or "I don't think I'm going to make it to heaven." You got to believe that you are. And if you desire to get to heaven, you're going to get there. And the reason is because if you really desire it, you're going to do what's necessary. And that's to love God, to follow him, to follow Jesus. You hang on to Jesus, let him hold you by the hand, let him lead you, and listen to what he says. And if you do that and ask for help, you will make it to heaven. So all of these things happen when we are baptized. And for years, I never got that. For me, my baptism was just a ritual. It was a checking of the box. It made me a part of the Catholic Club. And, you know, but I never really understood the value of baptism. It's an amazing sacrament. It really is. And the final part of this gospel, Jesus says, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And this essentially is the reminder to us of the mysterious nature and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. When we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. And this is the very Spirit of Jesus. So he gave us his Spirit. He never just told us when he was preparing to ascend into heaven, "Everybody, I want you to take really good notes. I want you to try really hard. And I want you to be really good." No, he said, "I will send you my Spirit to remind you of all that I said." And that same Spirit allows you to think like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, and to act like Jesus. So when you let the Holy Spirit work in your life will produce the fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. I've gotten really good at those, and I credit my book. the previous book that I wrote was Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. So since I was writing about all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I learned them. But these are all the fruits, the attributes that we want to our lives to show. Because when we do that, when we love, when we're peaceful, when we're filled with joy, when we're patient, when we're kind, when we're good, when we're faithful, when we're gentle, when we practice self-control, we are looking like Jesus. And that's exactly the point. Jesus gave us his Spirit. And if we let his Spirit work in us, we're going to look like him. The job of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into Jesus. Now, it takes work. The Holy Spirit has his work cut out for him. And It's a gradual process. It doesn't happen instantly for most of us, but it can be done. And that's why it's important for us to continually call on the Holy Spirit, to give the Spirit permission to work in our lives, and to believe that He's working. He's mysterious. The transformation is often so gradual that you and I don't notice it. But over time, if we look at a big enough period of time, if we look at what we looked like maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years ago, we generally, if we're really leaning on the Spirit and giving the Spirit permission to work inside of us, we're generally seeing a difference. We're seeing a change. And sometimes we'll think, wow, my desires changed. I don't any longer have the desires to do those bad things that I was doing. And again, sometimes it's more gradual than that. Sometimes we don't pick up on it right away. But that's how the Holy Spirit works. And that's why the Holy Spirit is described as wind. Spirit's somewhat mysterious. And it's not a concrete, we don't see the concrete effect of praying to the Holy Spirit for help. It's more of a gradual, mysterious process. But the Holy Spirit does work. So this comes about. You know, that's a great gift. We receive the Spirit when we're baptized. The water and the Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about. And I realize that not everybody that listens to this program is Catholic. And Protestants believe that they receive the Spirit when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and surrender their lives to Him and they repent for their sins. That's a difference between the Catholic belief and the Protestant belief. But Catholics base their belief on what's written in Scripture. And this is what Jesus is talking about with Nicodemus. And if anybody, if you are Catholic and somebody wants to know if you are born again, the answer would be yes. And it's through baptism. And it's based on this gospel account, this story, this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. So, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on the cross, we recognize the fact that man is a new creation. When Jesus took all of our sins to Calvary and died on the cross for man, He transformed man into a new creation, which is accessible to us. We become that new creation through the sacrament of baptism. And again, this gets a little confusing because it sounds a little mysterious and it's not as concrete as some of the things that make us comfortable. You know, we like seeing with our eyes. We like being able to hold things in our hands. We like being able to really visualize our environment. And it's a lot easier to explain. But when we start talking about the Holy Spirit coming to us in baptism, and the Spirit working inside of us, if I cut myself, I see my blood flow out. I can see that. It's visual. But I don't see the Spirit coming out of me, you know? And it's confusing. And that's why we are given the gift of faith. And that's another gift that we receive in baptism. We receive faith, hope, and charity. Faith enables us to believe that what God has revealed is true. Now, faith is both the ability to believe and the action of believing. It's not enough to just have the ability to believe that God's revelation is true, but we need to step out in faith and walk by faith. But through faith, we are able to believe such things as God is present with us, that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that Jesus is with us every day. Again, things that are not verifiable with your eyes, but can only be known by faith. And that's why we have the gift of faith. So a lot of stuff happening today. So the bottom line, as we bring this show to a close, what I would say is, if you have been baptized, be thankful. Be thankful for the gift of that baptism in your life and continue every day to ask the Father to send you out a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because even though you have the Spirit in you, it's a new day. I like to say new day, new Spirit. So whether you call it a new outpouring or a new awakening of the Holy Spirit in you, you want to do that every day. Ask the Father to send the Spirit. Then talk to the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to control my emotions, because a lot of times our emotions get us in trouble, the way we feel, to control my emotions, to inspire my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. So you're giving the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life. Now, you still have the ability, just like you do with your GPS in your car, to override what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you to do something, just as the GPS isn't going to force you to make the right turn that you don't want to make. You ever do that? You don't want to listen to the GPS because you're annoyed at the way the GPS is taking you, so you just keep going. That's kind of the way it is with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to listen, so your free will comes into play. But the Holy Spirit gives you directions on how to live your life. And also the Spirit makes it easier to do those things, such as loving others, such as maintaining your patience. These things are not easy sometimes. And the Spirit not only advises you, you better love this person, but the Spirit makes it possible, if you ask the Spirit for help, to love that person, to go out of your way for that person, to do the right thing, even when we don't want to. So that's a lot going on here, but baptism is an amazing sacrament, and it's something we really should be thankful for. Be thankful for that gift of the Holy Spirit, too. It makes life a whole lot easier, as long as we're not trying to override the work of the Spirit. Okay, so thank you for listening to the program today. And again, I want to thank you for your financial support, as well as your spiritual support of my work. If you're able to make a donation to keep my ministry going while I'm still trying to find some speaking work, as churches are gradually, ever so slowly, beginning to open up again and bring in speakers, your support is more important than ever. So if you're able to help me out and become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and then you can do that securely. All right? God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow on the program. I'm going to have a seat for you, so I hope you'll be able to join me as well. Have a wonderful night. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, okay? Bye-bye.